All right, welcome everybody to another Sailing Doodles podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I want to talk to you. Oh, cheers, guy. By the way, guys, say that. Currently in the RV, we're heading back to the Bahamas tomorrow. No, sorry, Monday. Scratch that. We're headed back to the Bahamas on Monday. Going to go sailing around there. So in the RV for a little bit, and then back to the Bahamas. But I wanted to address. So I put out a video yesterday. It was a preview video of. Basically, I made an hour and 20 minutes long video, like full length, like baby, basically Sailing Doodles, the movie. If you want to watch it, by the way, there's a link down in the description. You can check it out. But basically, with that movie, we filmed it over 8 days in the BVI. So we had to pay for the charter boat, pay for all the airfare, pay for all the expenses and the logistics and all that. And so one way I thought of making new content would be to do kind of a pay-per-view, like a movie purchase or a movie rental. I don't know if there's any other sailing channels doing it, but that's pretty prevalent among the online communities is, you know, you want some extra content, there you go. So I spent a lot of time and effort on that. So we spent, I already told you about the money, spending it to go down there all the time, the 8 days, we could have been filming other things. And then the editing, I mean, so it was probably, oh man, I don't know how many hours and hours of raw footage, but, you know, probably 20 hours of raw footage that I cut down to like an hour and 20 minutes. And I had to edit all that. So it took me 30 or 40 hours to edit that entire video. And so then we put it up and I was expecting, you know, maybe, okay. So if you want to watch Sailing Doodles for free, it's on YouTube, right? So this video that I'm talking about is not on YouTube. Actually, I put it on Vimeo because, there's a little bit of nudity in it and, there's two different versions, the censored and uncensored version, and put it on Vimeo just cause I want to deal with the censors on YouTube, because if you put stuff on there, they'll age restrict it. And then either it's not going to be shown or you have to be logged into your account to be able to watch it. And it's just not going to show you the video on YouTube. So it's just not going to get played on YouTube, even if I just had them hosting it there. So I didn't do that. Put it on Vimeo. And so our patrons got a discount on it, and then everybody else can buy it. And you get to watch it as much as you want, right? It sends you an email link. And so, well, you can either watch it straight from the landing page where you buy it, or it sends you an email with the links to do all that. And I was expecting, you know, kind of people to be happy about it. But by and large, the comments have been really negative, and we probably lost 50 subscribers or something like that. It's not that big a deal from it. But, I mean, obviously I don't want to lose subscribers, but I mean, 50 people out of 650,000, I don't want to lose subscribers, but those are the 50 people that probably didn't like Sailing Doodles anyway. So it's not the end of the world. But just the amount of negative comments I got on it, and they're like saying, screw you, I'm not going to pay for this. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to. This is just extra content. You're still going to get Sailing Doodles videos on YouTube that you get to watch absolutely for free. And that's going to continue to be a thing. And so it was just striking to me how much negativity there's been. And I kind of want to show you some of it. So like some of the people were saying that, I was faking all the restrictions on YouTube in order to push people to watch it. No, because here I can show you this right here. So here is the two videos recently put up there. So you have the top one, which is the main video that was published. And then I had a lot of blurring in that video, even more than I did on the video below it. You can see where it's got a restriction on it due to ad suitability. So that means it's too risque. So basically, if it's got an ad, if it's got a limited, it's got this yellow or even worse black notification right here where the dollar sign is. Basically, you're not going to get any. You're not going to earn any income from that, and so it's just not going to be viewed. And it's just a kiss of death, right? So you make no money on it. So I had the preview video up. I never published it. And then I put a lot more blurring in and kind of explained why I had to blur it. And then I re-uploaded it, and you can see it's just a few seconds. It's like, you know, 15, 20 seconds longer than the original video when I was kind of explaining why I had to do this. And then, so a lot more blurring. And so then that one I published. And so, you know, kind of, you know what, let me show you over here. Why it is the kiss of death here. Let me go to views. Okay. So now this other screen I'm bringing up here now is got, basically it's got, I've got all our content listed here in order of views. And you can see that they're in the top 10, there's already two restricted videos. Then you scroll down, there's another restricted video. You scroll down, there's more restricted videos. And then I would have to keep on going and all that. But, like, you know, there is no... If it's a restricted video, you're not making any monetization on there, so you don't make any money on that. And so, like, don't get me wrong, I mean, money's not everything, but, like, this is our how we make a living. And so, you know, when you know, a video gets demonetized, that could be up to, you know, a quarter or maybe an eighth of your income for that month that's gone. So imagine if you showed up at work and they said, oh, hey, by today, today's demonetized, you're not going to make any money today. Well, you know what, you're not going to make any money this week. You still have to work. You still have to create that video. You still have to do your job, but you're just demonetized for the week. It hurts, right? I mean, that's it's a big, you know, hit to your finances. I mean, this is what we do for a job. And so that's why you see the blurring on YouTube, because we can't do it any other way. And yeah, there's other formats. There's, yeah, Vimeo or, you know, Rumble and all that. But the monetization comparison is not even close. Like, you know, not even close. So let me... I just wanted to show some of the negativity here and some of the thank you guys that have been very supportive. I was a little shocked by just how much it is. Let me, all right, let's go here. Bring this up. Okay, it says here, just going through the comments. Here's one 3 minutes ago. Haven't even looked at this one. Truly disgusting and shameful. I feel, this is from Puget Sound 123. I feel sorry for Amanda. Why on earth isn't she involved in this? Not only does he push crass exploitation of women, but is now blatantly monetizing it. I echo the other commenter's point of view that I enjoyed this channel for adventure, but it's turned into an OnlyFans version of it. On a separate note, I can't help pointing out the positive trolls. Oh my gosh, this is way too long. I can't read this whole thing. But, I mean, you know what, dude? If you don't like the video, you don't have to watch it. And Amanda's 100% on board with this. She has. She even considered, like, replying to the comments herself, saying, hey, she was all on board for this. I mean, like, you know, so it's just, you know... It's very frustrating. People, like, this guy's like, what, you know, he's putting words into Amanda's mouth. He doesn't know what she's thinking. She's totally on board. So is everybody else that was on the program. They were all on board. They know what they're signing up for. They know what they're getting into, and they have a great time. We have a great time. And it's just, all right, here's one from Javier Rex. Hey, well done. Purchased the full-length video pretty much as a thank you for all the years of entertainment. I like the longer format and the edited. And the edit shows more of Amanda's personality than usually makes it into a normal video. Well, thank you. See, here is somebody that actually watched the video that enjoyed it and thought it was worth it. I'm not even going to bother with that one. This Bill Jones. Bob has taken this sexploitation money even further now on paid subscription. Man has no morals. Are you kidding me? How much stuff? How many? You have no idea how much when I edit that I go out of my way to make people look good. Like, you know, there's been times when I could have made people look really bad, but I don't do that. I try to keep everybody looking in a positive light. There was no nudity in my crew. And actually, there was nudity in our crew. We didn't film that. I'm not exploiting them. People are sailing around in the Caribbean. You wear a bikini. You wear a bathing suit. I don't wear a shirt. That's not sexploitation. That's just documenting what's happening. So here's one. I stick to YouTube because I like the content. That's enough to me. Turning it into a barefoot sailing adventures channel. Really, what happened to Taylor? Okay. My people keep asking about Taylor. That's years ago. Dearest commenters, quit being rude. Thank you so much. If you don't want to watch something, just don't. I know. Move on. Thank you. See, I mean, so thank you. There has been a lot of support with this too, but there's been so many negative comments. You know, I remember when it was so spanky. I remember when it was not about pushing soft porn. There's no, are you kidding me, soft porn? How is it? We're running around in a bikini on a boat is porn? Come on. That's ridiculous. I'm done with soft porn. See, this is ridiculous. These are the comments that I get all the time, and it's just, I'm sorry, guys. This may be a bit of a rant or whatever. It's just, I'm frustrated by this. Like, I try to, so what happens is that, you know, if I make a video purely about sailing or fixing a boat or doing something like that, that video does terrible. Like, there's no question about it. If it's just me on the thumbnail with a wrench in my hand or pulling up a sail, that video does not get watched. You know, it does get watched when there's a girl in a bikini doing something on it, right? And so I'm just doing what gets watches. You guys are the ones watching it, right? So, I mean, like, hey, if the pure sailing and all that stuff got a lot of views, I would love to just do that. But this is a business. This is what we do. I mean, this is what I do. And that's what all the sailing channels do. I mean, you'll notice a theme in there. Like, yeah, sure, there are some ones that are just sailing and they don't show anybody in a bikini or anything like that. But look how many views they get. They don't get that many views. Alan says, you never had to blur out the girls' bottoms before. They're perfectly normal. And beaches feel like this is just a way to get money. Well, I just showed you this other thing right here where I did not blur out their butts and it got a restriction on it. So that's not true. I mean, a lot of people keep saying things that they just assume are true and they're not. Sounds like a fun trip. Thank you. It would be nice for those of us who aren't paying for YouTube content to still have the option to watch a trip like this. Well, you will get a chance to watch it. Well, not this video. You won't. That's going to be only on the pay-per-view thing. There's a link in the description if you'd like to check it out. But we were also in the BVI for another week, which we did film. Not the same crew. Different crew, different boat. We went to different places. So that is still going to be on YouTube. In fact, I'm editing that, the first of that video right now, and it'll be out tomorrow. So you still get to watch that. So I'm not forcing you to watch the pay-per-view. I mean, I would love for you to watch it. That helps me out. It helps me pay back some of the expenses I had for this trip, which at this rate, I don't even think is going to happen. Because I don't know, all the negativity. Thank you. How did everybody get along? They got along really well. It was awesome. You have an awesome partner now. Congratulations, Bobby. Thank you. I appreciate that. See, there are a lot of positives. Last straw, I'm out. Okay, well, I don't know why that was the last straw. Why is that the last straw? I mean, I should stop getting so upset about this. I hate all the ridiculous comments. Oh, this one I did read. It was kind of funny. He said, it doesn't take Columbo to figure out the mystery of why the channel is gone. So thank you. I'd like the Columbo reference. I used to watch all that stuff too. But, you know, I just kind of wanted to give you where my head's at with all that. And it's just reading all the comments. I try not to read the comments too much for reasons just like this. All the comments on this have got me, like, number one, I'm unhappy with, I worked really hard. I worked 30 or 40 hours of editing, not including all the other stuff I did on this. And for so many people to be so negative and just poo-poo the whole thing and, like, speak out of turn, and they're saying things like, you know, this is just an exploitation or a stunt or something like that. That's just not true. And you don't know. I mean, you're just making assumptions that aren't true. Anyway, so I was really hoping this would work out well. I guess it didn't. I will say a lot of people have really enjoyed the video. And I enjoyed making it. With the reaction that it's gotten, I guess I might not do any more like this. But that's just the world. It was an experiment. I wanted to try it to see if this worked because, like, YouTube is in danger. YouTubers are in danger of losing their careers pretty soon. I mean, there's multiple reasons why. I talked about it in a previous podcast. But there's been even some new stuff out that scares me a little. So, you know, a lot of the monetization has dropped out of YouTube because YouTube's pushing shorts so much, which the income on shorts is terrible. It's like 12 cents per 1,000 views or something like that. Maybe not even that. Maybe it's 0.12 cents or 0.12. Yeah. I don't remember. Or something like that. So you end up making like I have a short video that has like 30 million views and it's made like a couple $1,000. So it's like 30 million views and it's made like $2,000. And so, you know, that's just an outlier. That's my most popular one. Our average short gets a couple hundred thousand views and that's worth like $10. You know, I'm like, okay, why did I even make that? Why did I spend the time to do that? So there's that reason. They're leaning into shorts, so the monetization is going down on YouTube, and they're pushing the shorts so much that when you open your app, like I hate this when I open my YouTube app. Now I watch most of my YouTube on TV, so number one, so I don't have to deal with it with the short stuff. But like when I open my YouTube app, the first thing that comes up is shorts half the time. And I'm like, I don't want to watch shorts. I want to watch an actual program that somebody spent time and like I watch a lot of science stuff. So, you know, somebody has a script. They spend a lot of time editing it and working on it and doing all that. So I like, that's the kind of thing I like to watch. But unfortunately, YouTube's trying to compete and with TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff that with the short videos. And so I think to the detriment of their longtime creators, because making those shorts, there's so many people out there that like use AI computer generated stuff to make shorts. They don't even have to do anything with it. They just hit a button, the computer processes a video, and then they spit out a short. And like they can spit out 50 shorts a day, and it takes them like 45 minutes to do all that. Whereas like you watch one of these full length videos, like you watch a 15 minute video from Sailing Doodles, it took me at least 5 hours, most of the time 7 hours to edit that video. So a full day of editing. And then I've got, then we had to film it and we had to go out and the expense of filming it and all that stuff. So it was quite an investment just to go do that. Whereas making a short, you can chop up somebody else's video and make a short and there's no copyright enforcement on that. So that's one thing. And number two, this whole thing with, I think it's OpenAI's Sora. Is it OpenAI or Google? One of the two. I think Google had one, but it didn't do well. But this video generation stuff. So you already had generative like pictures and stuff like that. And now the generative video is getting pretty good. And they'll probably put that out sometime, you know, by the end of this year, they're going to make that public where you can do it. Now, it's not there yet where it can make a full vlog, like a 15-minute vlog. But in a matter of years, it might be. In a matter of a few years, maybe 5 years or less, somebody will be able to create an entire sailing vlog strictly with AI, and it will be more entertaining, more things going on, more wild stuff that you could never actually film that's going to be on a sailing vlog that AI has generated, and you're not going to be able to tell a difference. And so like people that are actually out there, like myself, that are creators filming stuff, it's number one, we're going to have to compete with that, which is going to be very difficult because they're going to be able to like do these fantastic things. Like I sailed through a gale, a hurricane, and like broke the mast, and we had to live off fish for, you know, the fish, you know, for a week while till we got rescued or something like that. They're going to be able to create that kind of content. And we can't do that because I'm not going to go kill myself by sailing into a hurricane just to get views. You know, there's things like that. And it's going to be hard to compete with. And then you may not even know the difference that it was AI generated. So, you know, that's kind of what we're up against. It's a little scary on, you know, what the future may be like. I don't know. But, and so that's why, you know, as a YouTuber and all that, in the last year, you've seen a lot of YouTubers retire. Most of those YouTubers that retired started early on. Like they started in the infancy of YouTube, so 15 years ago when there was no money in YouTube, and they got big pretty quick because there was a lot less competition. Let's talk about competition a little bit too. I'll finish with my thought with that is that, you know, they got big in the last 4 or 5 years and have the 15 million views, 20 million views, and they were able to create their basically empire and make all their money, and they put enough away that they can retire now. For us people that just have come along in the last few years, 7 years is what I've been doing it. There are a lot of YouTubers that, you know, got really big in that time. I mean, look at, I don't know, I know Mr. Beast has been doing it for more than 10 years. But there's been YouTubers that have come up and gotten 10, you know, 5, 10, 20 million subscribers in the last 7 years that started after me. But there are genres that can afford that. So the sailing market is quite small. Look at the number one sailing vlog, and that would be Sailing a Vagabond. They have something like, 1.9 million or 1.8 million subscribers. We're in third place by subscribers was 645,000, and Delos, I believe, has 850 or 800, something like that. We're in second. Third by subscribers, we're in second by views. Sailing Doodles has somewhere around 400 million views, and I think La Vagabond has like 420 or 430 million views. But if you look at everybody's metrics, they're down over the past 2 years, ever since, like, there was a big bump, like, 2020 and the first half of 2021, obviously COVID-related. People were kind of stuck in their house, couldn't go anywhere. So the views went through the roof. But then number of creators at that point, because a lot of people were like, all right, well, screw it, I'm going to go buy a boat. And that's what I did too, right? I mean, for a different reason. Like, I lost my career and lost my flight medical. So if you don't know, I used to be a corporate, like, professional pilot. I had a brain hemorrhage in September of 2015. So the next year I couldn't fly for 2 years professionally. So I sold everything I own, bought a boat and went sailing and started. And my impetus for that was I'd always wanted to go sailing. I read books about it and I had chartered boats and stuff like that. And I was listening to the Sailing Podcast, which is now defunct. He no longer makes it, but it was a really good podcast back in the day. You can probably still find it. And he interviewed La Vagabond, Sailing La Vagabond. And I think at the time, like when he interviewed him, they only had 75,000 subscribers or something on the podcast. But by the time I listened to that podcast, they were up around 150 or something like that. And so I started watching some of their videos and I'm like, wait a minute, people can actually do this? So I was like, screw it. And sold everything I own and started making videos. And about the time, 8 months later, when I ran out of savings, I was barely earning enough to live on. And the monetization on YouTube back then was nothing. So it was all patron revenue. So thank you, patrons, for making this channel possible. They got a discount on that Sailing Doodles movie, by the way. And it was hard to create a living doing YouTube, especially that kind of YouTube 7 years ago. Because number one, you're traveling full time and there's no internet. I mean, like I think in America we had 3G on your phone at the time. And so when you're in places like the Bahamas, they have 2G. And so you can't hotspot your phone. That wasn't a thing 7 years ago. The only way we could get internet to upload something was to go find a cafe. And I mean, there was times when it took more than 17 hours sitting at a cafe uploading a video because the internet was so slow. But when you're in the South Pacific, you have no choice. So it was a lot harder then, and there wasn't nearly the potential for money that there is now. And so then if you look at the number of sailing vlogs, I believe, so I started in 16. I believe there was a big spike in like 17 or 18. Of new sailing vlogs coming in. I forget, somebody did a video on it. I think it was actually Sailing Vessel Eoti. Those guys, he has a blog. It's a pretty good blog, by the way. I'll link to it, I think, if I can find it. I think he might just be on Facebook, but I'm not sure. Eoti, E-O-T-I. You can Google him. It's a pretty good blog sometimes. And he was talking about how there was a lot of news YouTubers, sailing YouTubers in like 17, 18. A lull dropped off because a lot of people tried to start doing the YouTube in like 18, 19, and they realized that it took a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort to get where you could earn an income off of it. So a lot of people started and then just abandoned it. And then after 2020, so late 2020 or early 21, there was a big spike in viewership of sailing YouTube channels because, well, everybody was stuck at home and dreaming about escaping on a yacht instead of being stuck in COVID, right? And so there was a lot of views with that. And then a lot of people had nothing better to do because they either got laid off or whatever. They were working remote now, and so they could have the time to go do it. And so I think, shortly thereafter, you had Starlink come out, which made, but even before that, if you're traveling to the Bahamas or something like that, you could get you could hotspot your phone and get a data plan and do all that. And then, Starlink has made it even easier to do that. And so just the accessibility to be able to create vlogs and all that. So you've seen a big spike in new sailing YouTube channels, which, as I don't know if it's all, I think it's a combination of a lot of new channels, People maybe just getting bored with the old channels. Also pushing shorts and different kind of content and getting away from the long form content, and probably a few other factors that have kind of depressed there. But we were still getting over 3 million views a month, but it's nowhere near the 5 to 7 to 10 million we were getting at peak COVID, right? But I'm still happy with 3 million. That's I'm happy to keep that going, no problem at all. But you look at channels maybe like Delos, and I don't want to pick on Delos, they're great people, but like we were talking earlier about how if I put a video of me with a wrench in my hand trying to sail or do something like that, the video gets no views. So Delos was the party boat back in the day. They were the one, they were always naked. They were always in bikinis running around. They always had six, you know, crew, three hot girls, whatever, doing that. Well, when they had their kid, they kind of got away from that. So now it's just Brian and Karen and then Nugget on the boat. Well, it's not as sexy as it used to be, right? So now they're only getting like 1 million views a month or less. I mean, I'm sure they still have a very good patron following, but you can kind of see where this goes, right? It's like, so people get upset if I put a girl in a bikini in a video and they call it sexploitation, yet they won't watch it unless that's in there. So it only reinforces that I have to do that more. And so, I mean, that's kind of the world we're living in right now. I mean, it's, I would love to be able to change that, but then I wouldn't be able to like, I would lose my income. Like if I it just wouldn't work. So it's kind of like a slippery slope. Once it gets going, where does it end? I mean, it ends when AI takes over the content, and then, you know, their AI will know how to manipulate you as the viewer to keep watching and keep your attention and keep coming back. And they're just going to create content, and you're just going to be stuck doom scrolling in your feed watching videos forever, because you're like getting those little oxytocin hits every time you watch a video. You're like, oh wow, that's I, you know, and then you keep it's that's what social media has done as well. Whereas every time you scroll on your phone or you get a like or whatever, you get a oxytocin boost, and it makes you want to stay on their platform longer. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is for that. I don't think there is a solution. It's a one-way road. Like, nobody's going to give up their phones. It's a one-way road. I don't think there's any way back from it. But anyway, I feel like I've ranted on and on now. I appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you for all your support, your patrons. Couldn't do it without you. So just a couple things coming up. We're flying back to the Bahamas on Monday. Going to get in the Sea Ray and go flying or sailing around. The new boat, catamaran, should be splashed in the water this month sometime. And then they expect it'll take 45 to 60 days to commission it, because it's serial number one, and get it going. The sails are already being made for it and everything, and it should be they should be finished pretty soon. And but it's being built in Thailand, and so then it's going to be and then the 45 to 60 days, and then they'll ship it to the East Coast, which will probably take 2 or 3 months. So I should get the boat late summer, and then it will definitely be in Annapolis at the boat show. If you'd like more information on the Island Spirit 525, there's a link down below. Please tell them you saw it on Sailing Doodles, because I do get a commission off of that. It helps me pay for the boat, because I'm not getting it for free. I have to pay for it, but if you buy one, it helps offset my cost. So. Also, we're doing a flotilla, and I'll put a link for that in the description as well. There's a flotilla. It is July 13th through the 20th. We're going to Croatia. We have like 8 or 9 boats. I think quite a few of them are already booked. I think they will book up very quickly. So I would click on that link and reserve your boat today, because I know a lot of people were very interested in going to Croatia on a flotilla. I've never been there. So the way it works is you can either get your own boat. We have a bunch of them listed there you can choose from. And you can fill it with all your friends and whatever. In Croatia, somebody on the boat does need some kind of sailing certificate, like ASA 104 or higher, or the IYT or IYA, RYA, the equivalent of that. Maybe the U.S. Coast Guard stuff for work, I'm not sure. If you want to have your own boat with your own friends on there and nobody does have a sailing certificate, you can hire a captain. I believe it's not that expensive. You know, if you've got the boat and you're splitting it four ways, I think it'd be only $300 or $400 per person to hire a captain, per cabin to hire a captain. And then If you don't have anybody, if you don't have a crew or friends that would be willing to join you, you can book it by the individual cabin. Boats that are booked by the individual cabin, they will definitely have a professional skipper included with that. The boats range from, I believe, around $8,000 to $18,000. So depending on how nice and how big of a boat you want. But I mean, so if you get one of the $8,000, I think it's only like a 45-foot monohull or something like that for the $8,000 ones. That I'm not sure if it's three or four cabins, but say it's four cabins, it's only $2,000 per couple. So it's not bad for a week in Croatia. I say that's pretty cheap. So we got that coming up. So if you are interested in watching the Sailing Doodles movie, it's an hour and 15, 20 minutes long, and you can choose the censored or uncensored version. There's a link down below. We're doing like $15, or you can pay whatever you feel like it's worth. I appreciate you guys for supporting the channel, watching the videos, and so check out the Sailing Doodles podcast, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks, guys.